Our gospel is from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. What do you think of when you hear this phrase? And I've got to sigh before I say it, because it's always said with a sigh at the beginning. "I guess that's just my cross to bear." Does anything positive come to mind? Not at all, does it? I think what we're saying when we say that is, life has thrown me a curveball, something I really don't want to deal with, but I'm going to have to deal with, so I'll just tough it out, and maybe God will help me a little bit, and maybe if I put up with this with patience, maybe I'll be a little better person for it. Nothing could be farther from what Jesus was talking about when he says, "Take up your cross and follow me." In the Bible, the cross isn't just putting up with the bad things that life throws at us. It is something much deeper, much more profound. The Bible talks about the cross being a process, a way, a path of transformation. Listen to how the Apostle Paul talks about the cross. It's not just something that happened outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul elsewhere talks about how comprehensive this process of transformation is when he talks about Jesus. The wonderful passage where he said, Jesus, although he was equal with God, did not count that as something to be grabbed onto, to be held on to be bragged about. Instead, he emptied himself and became obedient even to death on the cross, but that was not the end. And therefore, because of that death, his Father exalted him and raised him up to the place where he was always to be, which was as God's child. Jesus knew that was what was going to be happening at the cross and beyond that. And so in the gospel lesson for the day, today, it's the first time he tells his disciples very clearly what's going to happen. The Son of Man is going to have to go suffer, and he is going to die, but that will not be the end. There will be life. This incredible transformation has to take place. His dear follower, Peter, says, "No, I can't cope with that. That just makes my head explode. That cannot happen to you, our Lord and Savior." And Jesus says, "Yes. Not only is it going to happen to me, but it's going to happen to you as well." He says, "If you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross and walk the path, the way, the process of transformation that I am going to." Jesus did not die on the cross so that we don't have to. Jesus died on the cross so that we can. We have to take up that cross. No one else can do it for us. I know over the years I've talked about the time in college when I went on an outward bound thing, camping experience up in the Boundary Water canoe area, and I didn't know anything about canoeing, and they're very experiential in their teaching. They don't sit you down and say, "This is how you do all this stuff." They just put you in a canoe in the water and say, "Learn." Well, the second day we were there, we paddled across a lake, and we got out on the shore there where there was the path to the next lake, a half a mile portage. And we were going to have to carry the canoe and the packs with us. Well, I sure didn't want to carry that canoe, but I was too slow to realize that the guy I was sharing the canoe with had already picked up the packs, put them on his back, and was down the trail, leaving me with a canoe. Now, I didn't know how to pick up this thing, and so I'm just kind of standing there because everyone else is taking the packs and the canoes. And so finally, at the end, I was left alone there with our guide, Robert, a Britishman. And I said, I don't know how to carry this thing. I don't want to carry this thing. And he says, I have to carry my canoe here, there. Nobody else is here. Only you can take up that canoe and carry it. And here, I'll show you how. Well, for him, it was just easy. You know, you put it on here, then you, and then you pull it over on your top there, and you go down the trail. Well, his canoe was already on top of him, so he went down the trail, leaving me by the edge of the lake all alone. Well, I'm pulling that big canoe up. They weigh 70, the old aluminum one, 75, 80 pounds. You know, I'm putting it up on my knee. It falls off. I pull it up again. I finally get it over my head. It's got pads on the bars there, but 80 pounds right there on your shoulders. It does not feel good. And I start wobbling down that trail with my canoe. It wasn't any better. Mosquitoes come under that canoe. They're buzzing around. You take your hand off to try and slap at the canoe. You can't see where you're going, so when the trail turns, I don't turn quite sharp enough, and so the canoe hits a tree, and finally, I come out of the woods a half a mile later, staggering out with my canoe, and all my fellow campers burst into applause. I took up my canoe. I did. And I'm glad I did. That transformed me into a much better canoer real fast. So when Jesus says, take up your cross, though, what does he want us to be transformed into? What is the transformation that needs to take place? The purpose of it is so that we can realize, that we can experience, we can become the very beloved children of God that God wants us to be all along. The purpose of this process of the cross is so that we can experience at an existential heart level that we are loved and we are forgiven and we are empowered, and nothing less than that is what this is about. The trouble is, as Jesus says, you're clinging to everything else because you think it's important. You think you have no alternative. You don't realize you have this deeper, richer life, and so you cling to all these superficial things. If you cling to those, you're not going to experience this deep, rich, full life that only God can give. But if you let go of all of those other things, that life will be yours. Look at Jesus going to the cross in that light. Jesus did not have to go to the cross. When he went there, he gave up his dignity. He was stripped naked and hung there for all just to mock and hold in scorn. He had to give up his whole dignity. He had to let it go. He had to die to his dignity on that cross. But you know what? Holding on to his dignity was nothing compared to his relationship to his God. So he let it go. He died to it. On the cross, Jesus had to give up his rights. He was an innocent man dying on that cross for a crime that he did not commit. He had every right to say, this isn't fair, I shouldn't have to do this. But his innocence, his righteousness, was nothing at all compared to the relationship of trust and obedience that he needed to have with his Father. And so he let go his innocence, his righteousness. On the cross, Jesus had to die to his power. He could have called down angels. They could have zapped all the Romans. They could have gotten him down off that cross, and he could have walked away scot-free. But he said, if I hold onto my power, it is less than my relationship with God. I give it up. I die to it. And so at the end, where his breath is literally coming down to his last breath, where the blood is down to the last few drops that can flow out of his hands, and he has given up absolutely everything else, and then what does he say? He says, Father, I have let go of everything Now all I can do is commit my spirit into your care, into your hands, and if you don't catch me, then there's nothing there. And he breathed his last, and he fell into his father's hands, and he fell into his life. And 3 days later, he was alive with that rich, full life. That's what the cross is all about. When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, die to stuff in your life, what is he really asking us to give up, to let go of? Things like our pride. Wow, what a relief it would be to be able to let go of my pride. What is my pride? What good has my pride ever done me or anybody else? Not much. When Jesus says, take up your cross, what am I going to have to let go of? Perhaps my fears. But then again, what is clinging to my little fears done to help me in my life or done to help anyone else? Nothing. In fact, it has hindered me from doing all sorts of things. Jesus says, let go of all of that. Let go of your ego. Let go of your pride. Let go of your little prejudices. Let go of your need to control. Let it go and be free to experience the life that God has for you. Now you might ask, so how do I do this? What do I got to do? I can't tell you that. I wish I could tell you if you do A, B, and C, then you'll have taken up your cross and God will be happy and your life will be good. But I don't know what it is that needs to die on the cross in your life. It's different for each of us. It's different for us each day to day. But I can give you a good hint. Anytime you're dealing with your ego, that's what needs to go to the cross and die and be let go of. Anytime your ego's involved and you let it go, life will be good. Life will be much, much better. I need to put a little disclaimer in here. When we talk about this, take up your cross and follow me, some people have really very much misinterpreted it to mean, well, that just means you should be a doormat and let people step on you and don't stand up for your rights. Some people have even said that this... Well, I've even heard of pastors giving advice to people who are in abusive relationships saying, this is your cross to bear, just put up with it. That is not what Jesus is talking about. To take up your cross is to let go of that which keeps you from being the beloved child of God. It is only for your growth. It does not mean to be lying down and let people step all over you or even abuse you, because that does not help them or you or anyone. And notice also, contra to that, Jesus didn't say, if you want to be my follower, just take anything that life throws at you and put up with it. No, it's not a passive thing, it's an active thing. Take up your cross. Decide for yourself you want to go down this path and claim the life God has to give you. In our tradition, dying, cross talk, it all gets so negative. How do we make this positive enough to get through to it? How do we dare to face the cross? Well, it's because the end result is so good, so worth it. I thought of a silly little example. Years ago, when I first went down to Disney World, they had a ride down there called Tower of Terror. The idea is they've got a big, tall, several-story tall building that looks like it's a hotel that has been struck by lightning, and it is messed with the elevator on it. And I'd heard that part of the ride is that you're in this elevator shaft and in the dark, and they shoot you up and down. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. I can't go on this. But the people I was with saying, come on, we're going on this thing. Disney really knows how to mess with your mind, because you have to stand in line to go there, but you have to stand in line underneath this tower. And every once in a while, way up about 5-6 stories up, elevator doors open up, and you see these poor people sitting in this elevator car there, and they're looking out, and all of a sudden the car just disappears, and you hear these screams, and the door goes shut. Now, that did not make me any more confident to ride this thing. But I finally got in, got strapped in, they take you up, and the lights go out, and you're just sitting there waiting. Okay, is it going to drop now? Oh, just drop. And it does. And it shoots you up, and all of a sudden you're looking out those elevator doors across the whole park, and you drop down again, and you're screaming. And it goes on for a little while until finally at the end, you're down on the bottom floor, the lights come on, the door opens, and guess what everybody in that car did? They burst into applause again. It was so thrilling. It was so energizing. It was so enlivening to face your fears and go through that. That adrenaline rush was just amazing. Jesus comes to you and say, I know it's scary. I know it's hard. But it will be so worth it. Come, take up your cross. You don't have to worry about the way. I have already shown you the way. I've shown you the truth. I've shown you the path to life. Come, take up your cross and follow me all the way to life. Amen. Please stand as we sing our next hymn.